This personality of Godhead. Siddhagana of the perfected Sethas. Adisha, the head. Sankhya Acharya, by Acharyas, expert in Sankhya philosophy. Susamataha, approved according to Vedic principles. Loke, in the world. Kapila iti, as Kapila. Akyam, celebrated. Kanta, he will go about. Te, your. Kirti, fame. Vardhanaha, increasing. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Your son will be the head of all the perfected souls. He will be approved by the Acharyas, expert in disseminating real knowledge, and among the people he will be celebrated by the name Kapila. As the son of Devahuti, he will increase your fame. Please repeat. Your son will be the head of all the perfected souls. He will be approved by the Acharyas. Expert in disseminating real knowledge. And among the people, he will be celebrated by the name Kapila. As the son of Devahuti, he will increase your fame. Purport. Sankhya philosophy is a philosophical system enunciated by Kapila, the son of Devahuti. The other Kapila, who is not the son of Devahuti, is an imitation. This is a statement of Brahma. And because we belong to Brahma's disciple succession, we should accept his statement that the real Kapila is the son of Devahuti, and that the real Sankhya philosophy is a system of philosophy which he introduced and which will be accepted by the Acharyas, the directors of spiritual discipline. The word susamata means accepted by persons who are counted upon to give their good opinion. Text again. I am Siddhaganadisha. Sankhyacharyais susamataha loke kapila ityakyam ganta te kirti vardhanaha. Your son will be the head of all the perfected souls. He will be approved by the Acharyas, expert in disseminating real knowledge, and among the people he will be celebrated by the name Kapila. As the son of Devahuti, he will increase your fame. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Sitarane. Prabhupada begins the purport by explaining that there are more than one system of philosophy called Sankhya present. That there's another system of philosophy which is just an imitation of Sankhya philosophy given by Kapila Muni. Fortunately, most of us don't know anything about Sankhya philosophy, what to speak of the one given by the atheist. And therefore, in the Western world, Prabhupada thought that the Westerners are more fortunate in one sense because they don't have any so many preconceptions about Vedic philosophy. Therefore, when they're presented the real philosophy given in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Kapila Deva, they don't have to relearn their philosophical understanding or give up their previous philosophical understandings. As Srila Prabhupada says, that if you want to learn the violin at a very prestigious school, first thing that they ask you is, have you ever learned the violin before? And if you say yes, then they charge you twice as much for the lessons. Because they know that, first of all, they have to help you forget everything you've learned previously, and then they can try to help you learn the correct method. Of course, we've learned enough wrong things. We can't be too proud of our previous education. But at least in terms of learning the elaborate system called atheistic Sankhya philosophy, by which one becomes convinced that one is God, we didn't learn that, although we may have been convinced we're God anyhow. But we didn't have so much of a philosophical basis to support it. And here it mentions that we belong to the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Therefore, we accept Lord Brahma as a representative or as the original Acharya within our line of disciple succession. And when he says that Sankhya philosophy is the real philosophy, we were supposed to accept it. Of course, most of us don't know Lord Brahma, nor we're so sure exactly who's in our disciple succession, nor do we necessarily understand everything that Lord Brahma is talking about, nor do we perhaps even feel so much belonging to Lord Brahma's disciple succession. In other words, if Lord Brahma told us to jump over a bridge, would we do it? Sometimes it's asked like that. Are we so surrendered that whatever Lord Brahma says, immediately we say, yes, sir? But that's the system of learning knowledge according to the Vedic system. First, surrender, and then one can get knowledge. But that doesn't mean that, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should get it not only here submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. In other words, although in our philosophy surrender comes first, but surrender is not supposed to be blind. When people hear the word surrender, immediately they think blind surrender. Because, practically speaking, people are blind. And therefore, when they are told to surrender, just like, for instance, if you're told that you have to go to fight in the army, you're drafted, you can't ask why. Why do I have to go into the army? Because you have to surrender. And they don't really feel that they have to give you any good reason. They may try to give you some reason, but if you don't accept the reasoning, you have to surrender anyhow, because you have accepted the fact that you're an American or any country that you're coming from. You have to follow the authority. So similarly, Lord Brahma, if we feel ourselves belonging to his disciple succession, and we have to feel ourselves belong to some line of authority, or else we can't get anywhere in spiritual life. One time one person was asking Prabhupada, at that time he was Swamiji, he said, could you tell me something about Buddhism? So Prabhupada said, do you follow Buddhism? Or what's the difference between Buddhism and Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada asked him, do you follow Buddhism? And the boy said, no. So Prabhupada said, well, follow something, but just don't talk. Do something. Just don't talk about Buddhism. Do something about it. In other words, Mahajano Yena Katasapanda. Everyone has to knowingly or unknowingly accept an authority. Unfortunately, we think, oh, I have no authority. As one famous so-called philosopher said, don't accept any authority. Everyone is, you're all guru. Don't accept anyone as guru. Of course, if you accept that philosophy, then automatically you accept him as your guru. And you reject everyone else as guru. Or one writer. He wrote, as Prabhupada said, so many books about not reading books. And this famous philosopher, one time I was giving a presentation in one esoteric bookstore. So I looked at this particular philosopher and his newest book, which was blank pages. That was his final statement on philosophy. That's as much as he realized. We have to accept some authority. It is not that we can choose not to accept an authority. It is, but generally people accept authority according to the modes of nature they're situated under. Those who are in the mode of ignorance, they accept someone like Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha or Kamsa as their authority. Even I was told there is a part of the Puranas which explain that the actual hero of the Ramayana was Ravana. And only by some tricky business did he become, was he defeated by Ram. But he's the actual hero, according to some people's vision, of the Ramayana. Those in the mode of ignorance will certainly have such a vision that that is reality, and the good people are people like Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, etc. And those in the mode of passion, they may worship someone like a wealthy businessman. Bill Gates may be their hero. They may go to him and try to seek advice and shelter so that they can, the little swavit vrahostra karar samstuta purusha pashu, the little hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they naturally worship the big hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. And those in the mode of goodness, they may accept some philosopher, a musician, or a composer as their hero. And dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katana sabhanda. So we have to follow some path. We have to follow some authority. We have to surrender to someone. In Amsterdam, people, if you ask them on the street, you know, take this book, and they say, no, I'm not, I have my philosophy. I'm not interested in anyone else's philosophy. I have my philosophy. But if you examine their philosophy is a combination of everything they've seen on television. That's their so-called philosophy. So everyone has to accept an authority. The only question is who authority we accept. Because we have no independent intelligence, our intelligence is a product of what we've heard from others. In a modern society, people are glorifying. For instance, I was in Las Vegas, not to gamble, by the way. But I was just visiting my mother in Las Vegas. And there, everyone is mad, especially from Los Angeles, I was told, in California. They're mad to get there as quickly as possible to Las Vegas, just like the fireflies and the other types of insects. They're mad to fly into the fire. So because Las Vegas is so well advertised, and because they, for the $5,000 you give them as a donation, they give you a nice room for a couple of nights. And they give you so many other things like some food and some entertainment as you lose all your money. So people are very much impressed by the opportunity to throw their money away because it's presented in such a nice way. It's glorified so nicely that people's minds are filled with the idea that I'm actually going to be happy throwing my money away here. This will actually make me satisfied. That is called expertise. That is advertisement. Or as probably, I was reading that as soon as the government came out with the advertisement explaining that cigarette smoking is dangerous to your health, that it might kill you, then cigarette smoking increased dramatically. Because people, younger people thought that if it's such a horrible thing, well, it's like a daredevil type of, if you can't do it, then they become very, you shouldn't do it, then people become very encouraged, especially younger people, let me do it. Let me try it. I dare you to do it. All right, I'll do it. I'll show you. But in any case, by advertisement, they're advertising. Prabhupada said here in Los Angeles, they're advertising smoke, this cigarette called Kool. Breathe in fire and become cool. They're advertising like that, and people are buying the cigarettes, thinking if I smoke this cigarette, I'm cool. And because the mind becomes filled with all kinds of ideas for sense gratification, therefore naturally the senses want to experience what the mind is agitated over. The senses also become agitated, and therefore the soul desires that its intelligence be utilized for gratifying the mind and senses. So we have to surrender. Either we utilize our intelligence to surrender to the mind and the senses, trying to figure out what's the best way of satisfying them, or we utilize our intelligence to try to figure out how to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Surrender has to be there, and we have to use our intelligence to do it, but it's all depends on our own free will, how we want to utilize it. It is not that if we don't surrender to Krishna, we won't surrender. We have to surrender. We'll have to surrender to someone else. To our boss at school, at work, we'll have to surrender. To our wife, to our children, to the dog. We'll have to surrender to someone. So here it says, Lord Brahma, he's presenting a system and we have to surrender to it. Or he's recommending or he's authorizing a system called Sankhya philosophy given by Lord Kapila. So we have to not blindly follow it, nor absurd inquiries means, blind following means, we just accept, yes, Lord Brahma said Sankhya philosophy. We don't have to really look into it. We don't have to examine it. No, it's authorized so we can look into it with our intelligence, try to understand it to the best we can, and then absurd inquiries means the reason why we're looking into it is because we can utilize it to make advancement towards the goal of life, Krishna consciousness, and pure devotional service. If we look into it to try to become a learned scholar so we can impress everyone with our knowledge, or to give classes at universities so we can make a living, that's like absurd inquiries. Now, the idea of hearing the Sankhya philosophy is to understand things so clearly through submission, service, and inquiries that we take to the process of devotional service and therefore factually become conscious of Krishna in the proper way. So blind following absurd inquiries are condemned. One should get a clear understanding. One should not only hear submissively. So the first thing is we have to hear submissively. Even we don't agree with what someone is saying, unless we hear submissively, we won't understand why we don't agree. The Western world means as soon as someone is speaking to us, immediately our minds are challenging what they're saying. We're trying to figure out what I can say to defeat the person or what my angle is. And therefore, we never really hear what they're saying. The idea of hearing submissively, most people think if I hear too submissively, then I'll get brainwashed. They'll look me right in the eye, and when I'm hearing submissively, then suddenly I'll lose my mind, and whatever they tell me to do, I'm just going to have to follow. Besides that, if I hear submissively, that means I'm taking the position of a servant. But that's degrading, and people think that's a degradation. Taking a position of a servant to anyone. That I bow down to no one. That if anyone bows down, it's everyone else to me. But I bow down to no man. That's Western training. Because we have that song, Bow Down, Mister. So hard to bow down. It's such an embarrassment. Maybe sometimes in church you bow down and pray, you know, I'm putting this into the basket that's coming around, this dollar and a quarter. Please, God, please, I beg you, make it into a million. So maybe for that I'll bow down. But this idea of submission is so much, this is the nirmana moha jita sangha dosha. We're trained up to become proud. So many things to be proud of. I'm proud of being an American. Someone comes and does something to America, everyone's on the street waving the flag, I'm proud. So I'm whatever reason they're proud, but they're proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Californian. I'm proud to belong to this religion. I'm proud. I'm just proud. That's all I got is my pride. Because I'm in debt. Something like America has like 80% of the world's wealth or something. And in America, like 20% of the, 10% or something of the people in America have practically all of America's wealth. And something like 55 or 60% of the people in America have less than nothing. They're in debt. They'll have to come back life after life in America just to pay their debts back. But they're proud. They have nothing to be proud of except for their pride. And people don't want to give it up. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha. They're proud because they're an illusion. They think that they're their body, that they own so many things here are for their enjoyment, that they're the benefactor of so many people. They're proud because they're an illusion. And therefore, if one wants to make any advancement, one has to give up that pride and become submissive. And if one becomes submissive to the right source, it is not that one hears blindly, but one utilizes the best thing we have to the fullest we can, our intelligence, to try to see things properly, clearly. And we have to follow the process that explains how we can get realization. So blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should get a clear understanding. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding. So our submissive behavior, our submission is so we can get a clear understanding. We can see things properly. And that's the process of submission, service, and inquiry. Submission, and then we have to become inquisitive. What are they saying? What does it mean? And then when everything is clear, then we can render proper service. So we have to develop a humble attitude, realizing that now I'm an illusion. My real problem is I'm identifying myself with this body. I'm misidentifying myself with this mind. I don't know who's actually the controller behind everything here. Why am I suffering here? These things I may theoretically know to some extent, but the fact is, in everyday life, if my body is in difficulty, I feel myself in difficulty too. If my mind is disturbed, I feel myself disturbed. Therefore, in the practical, everyday business, I'm a conditioned soul. And I have to get out of this conditioning nature, this conditioned nature, and there is a process of doing so. So I have to become a little humble, a little submissive, and then I have to try to understand what's being said, how it pertains specifically with the idea of my becoming free from my conditioned life and coming back to my original spiritual identity and spiritual activities. What is the actual process behind it? That's inquiry. I have to try and understand it. And when it becomes clear, then I'll know what to do. And if I do that, then I'll get the practical result. I'll feel detachment from material conceptions. I'll be able to see how things are actually related to Krishna, and I'll feel love within my heart for Krishna and everyone and everything related to Krishna. And if we experience the result, then we'll become more interested. We'll learn. We'll realize the benefit of becoming more submissive, more inquisitive, of rendering better service, because we'll get the practical result. And that will encourage us to go on with the process. But if everything is yes, boss, and there's no inquisitiveness, there's only submission, then I'll just become a fanatic or a sentimentalist. Or if there's only inquisitiveness and no submission, analyze it, sit around, speculate to the end of, you know, to the end of time, break everything down to its smallest component, and then say, well, it's ultimately all Brahman anyhow. Absurd inquiries. Nothing to do with anything practical of making any real advancement out of my conditioned existence, my present conditioned existence, or realizing my spiritual identity. Absurd inquiries, they're all condemned. We have to render devotional service with as not much intelligence and knowledge as we have, in a prayerful way, in a humble way, and then if we get the result, as we get the result, then we'll understand how to improve our service. Tesham sadatam yukdanam, bhajantam pritipurvakam, dadami buddhiyogam tam, yena mamupyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted, Krishna says, and who worship me with love, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So we have to render service with as much enthusiasm, with as much knowledge and determination as we presently possess, and then we'll see that Krishna does reciprocate. He does give us the realization by which we can further get more knowledge, more enthusiasm for the process, and make gradual progress toward the goal of life, to becoming perfectly conscious of Krishna and who we actually are and everyone else's. So thank you. Any comments or questions? Yes. Tell them the teachings of Lokapila. What can you do? All you have to do, Krishna will give you, if you really want to help someone, Krishna may give you as much intelligence. He may give you some intelligence. I mean, Krishna doesn't interfere with people's independence. So it's not that we're the saviors, that we're the all-pervading super soul, and it's our job to save everyone. No, we can try to act as an instrument for Krishna, not get in Krishna's way so he can try and save someone. We can desire that much. If we really see someone suffering like that, we can desire to let Krishna do the saving. Our spiritual master, the disciple succession, do the saving. We just have to step out of the way, and he'll do the best he can. We can pray, and Krishna will make the arrangement. You know, he may help. We can pray for someone. And we can step out of the way and let Krishna do the best he can. Step out of the way doesn't mean we don't do anything. It means that we should understand that we're not the ultimate benefactor of all the living entities. It's Krishna who is. And that only if he desires to save someone, we can. Of course, Krishna is also submissive to his devotees. So if we desire to save someone, then it says, according to the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that he empowers the living entity with his bhakti shakti. And therefore, our little desire is there, and Krishna's big desire is there. So if the person's not completely antagonistic, then he'll be helped. Yes.
And you're speaking how ignorant everyone is in society today. It appears that a lot of people really don't mind being, you know, in ignorance. In other words, like you said, go to Las Vegas and gamble the money. And I know some people that is genuine in enjoyment for them. They look forward to saving a few dollars and going to Las Vegas and blowing it, and they actually really consider that to be, you know, luxurious. That's like a high lifestyle. That's like the bliss or the epitome of you know, living. You know, like, for instance, if you can speak to such people, they'll say, well, you haven't really lived. I mean, you know, you're missing out on what happiness is. you're in the doldrums of life, you know, by just getting up, going to work, and coming home and watching TV. Live a little. Yeah. You know, get on an airplane, go to Vegas and blow a few $1,000. Have a good meal, have a few drinks, and have fun. It appears that this ignorance is really what people are looking for. Especially, you know, you might say in an atheistic society. So, as a devil's advocate, I have to say that your philosophy kind of stinks. It's not very applicable to society today because, you know, you're in some dark age. You're not really understanding, you know, you're like sour grapes. Maybe nobody, really likes you anyway. And maybe women don't like you. Maybe you don't have any money. Maybe you don't have any education. You ain't got any brains. So you've just taken this path of so-called spiritual life. And so you're just a bunch of sour grapes. Just devil's advocate. Please don't take this personal. But you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes. So you have your philosophy. We have our philosophy. So just like, for instance, if you try to take a hog, if he's eating stool, and you try to convince him that the stool is not very nice, please take this halva, he's not going to listen to you. If you try to drag him away from it, he'll protest it. Why are you dragging me away from this nice hot stool? Don't you know what real enjoyment is? So yes, just like, for instance, there's a history that one person named Banasura, he had 1,000 arms. And it was given to him by Lord Shiva. And he'd go everywhere throughout the whole universe challenging even the demigods. But it's very hard to block someone's punches when they have 1,000 arms. So everyone fled. And finally he went to Lord Shiva and said, "My dear Lord Shiva," he said, "everywhere I'm going, I'm challenging people to fight with me because I have this itching sensation in my arms. Therefore, I go to everywhere and everyone flees from me. I go to the mountains and I pulverize the mountains with my 1,000 arms, but I'm still not satisfied because of this itching sensation. Therefore, what should I do? So Lord Shiva said, "You fool, you rascal." He said, "You're puffed up by your little opulence now, but soon you'll meet someone. They'll come and they'll crush you, and your flag of victory will no longer fly." So Banasura, being a demon, he became elated. "Soon someone's going to come and smash me to pieces." In other words, the happiness for the materialist is the itching sensation, the relieving the itching sensation. And my dunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham kanduyanena iva dukha karya iva dukha dukham triptyanti neha bahu dukha bhaja bahu kripana bahu dukha bhaja kanduti vat manasijam visheheta dhira. So Prahlad Maharaj compares it to the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itching sensation. So for them, that's the highest perfection of happiness, is satisfying that itching sensation. But we have a different standard of itching, of satisfying or a satisfaction. But you won't be able to understand that. So we're happy. You want to go and scratch your itch, however you want to scratch it, great, go do it. But that doesn't mean that you've realized everything just because you know how to scratch an itch. But if that's what you're completely determined to do, and you don't want to listen to anyone else, you don't believe that there's anything beyond that, then go do it. But just let us do what we're doing, that's all. When Chandra Bose, what was his name? Chandra Bose? Yeah, Subhas Chandra Bose. He came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada and he said, I want some of you men to join our liberation movement. He said, Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, just leave them alone. They're all weak and scrawny. They won't be able to help you very much. You know, they're useless for your movement. So he went away, just didn't bother their movement. So someone who's completely convinced that there is the highest happiness, the sense gratification, we've already figured everything out, then great, go do it, go for it. But our philosophy is we look for people who are a little doubtful, who actually are wondering why they're suffering. The people who think they're enjoying like everything, go for it. Go do it. But we're not really interested. That's your decision. But we just talk to people who are more or less a little doubtful.
So you're saying that before you can become a spiritualist, you really got to suffer.
You have to be aware of the fact that you're suffering. But if you think you're enjoying, well, great. Nothing. We have nothing to tell you. You already figured it all out. We just put our hands together and bow down before you, you know, oh, great sage. Sometimes people would come to Prabhupada and say, you know, I'm higher than you are. One hippie came to Prabhupada, he was in San Francisco, he came and said, he said, you know, I'm God, I'm higher than you are, I know everything. So Prabhupada put his hands together and said, yes, I offer my respects to you. Now get out. Anything else? Yes.
Also, it's one of 10 offenses against chanting holy name to try to instruct somebody who has had no interest in it.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Anything else?
Like Yamaraj or Brahma or Lord Indra or Lord Shiva, where do they stand on the platform of devotion to Krishna as compared to devotees like Narada Muni or Prahlad or any of these other great devotees?
Well, just in general, the demigods are Sakam devotees. They have some material desire, but they're devotees. But they're devoted to Krishna, but they expect some material help from Krishna. But devotees like Prahlad, when you start with Prahlad, Narada Muni, they're Shuddha Bhaktis. They have no material aspiration, whatever. Even if Krishna throws Prahlad over a cliff or underneath an elephant, he doesn't protest, thinking, wait a second, I came to devotional service for a little protection, and as soon as I started to chant it, my whole world fell apart. So maybe I should start chanting something else. No, Prahlad wasn't at all disturbed. He said that as soon as I start chanting, immediately my mind merges into an ocean of spiritual happiness, and I forget about the material world. So they're on that level. And the demigods, they chant, but they chant to Krishna, please help me become a better materialist or do better here in the material world. But Prahlad has no interest in such things, or Narada Muni. Okay, thank you very much. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.